This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I'm
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Try me, you and your crew will bleed. Y'all bums ain't shot for the stars since New Year's Eve. Nothing was given to me. I had to go upside heads just to get upside hills. Never over the hill though, so I don't strike when the iron is hot. I strike whenever the fuck I feel. I eat what the fuck I kill. I got this way from not being allowed to eat dinner. If you knew how much I lost, you have no problem with me winning. How many times could I be reinvented? Money is the deadlier of the five venoms. And my denim definitely got a wad in them. Garages with cars in them.
Yeah. If you knew how much I lost, you'd have no problem with me winning. Neither here nor there, though. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.D. Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I got to start, as I always do, by thanking you first and foremost for taking whatever time out of your day to come and chill with me. I know you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and that means the world to me. It means everything. The numbers are looking good. Podcast is growing. I really appreciate everybody who's, you know, supported, shared. Opportunities are just opening up. Looking to do some fun new things in the very near future. Right now, on Sundays, as a part of Self-Care Sunday on Opulence Radio, you can catch the What Is TWS podcast. I'm probably going to be going through, some of my recovery-related episodes and things like that. Really leaning into the self-care aspect of things. I think I try to include some of that in, like, every episode, but some are more focused than others. Other times I just be rambling or talking about titty pillows or something, whatever I find interesting at the time. My life is weird. But that's happening. So yeah, opulenceradio.com. You can listen there. There's an app as well, but that'll be every Sunday. My show starts at 1 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. But yeah, check out Self Care Sunday. Check out the whole Opulence Radio lineup. It's a good time. Anyway, but yeah, so this is going to be another Chef Elise-centered episode. Had some milestones, some achievements over these past 2 weeks. I kind of like doing this, going back and forth between, having a guest and me doing my solo shows, kind of alternating the two. Because that gives me a little time to let, content build up, with me and my Chef Elise, our adventures. So by the time I come to you, with something to talk about, I got, a decent amount of stuff to talk about. I can fill up a whole show and not just ramble incoherently like I do some weeks. So you're in for a treat. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into it.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am. It's been quite an adventure as a dad. And as a dad of a lovely young lady like Chef Elise. She's growing up to be something else. A piece of work. I don't know. She's growing up, and it's cool to get to see. One of the things we had going on this week is my daughter has had a persistent cough, I want to say her whole life, from the moment she had the ability to cough, because I guess infants don't cough that much. I don't know, but from the moment she had the ability to cough, she's been coughing, and she coughs a lot, and it's been one of those really stressful parent things because. We bring this up to the pediatrician, and our pediatrician is supposed to be like this, I know this because I think he's a good doctor, but he's supposed to be like this award-winning pediatrician. And, when people found out that, that's the doctor we got, they were like, oh, yeah, he's great. And, they were impressed. We did something to earn this doctor. We need a pediatrician. He was like, oh, yeah, here you go. But he's supposed to be, really good. And I think he is really good. He's managed all of the ear infections that Elise seems to get pretty well. We didn't have to do the tubes, which I was happy about. But I don't know, the cough he seems very nonchalant about the cough. You as a parent, when your child is sick, you going in there look, something wrong with my kid. I want it fixed. Like, what's wrong with them, and how do we fix it? And when they just be like, ah, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's nothing, whatever. And it's going on for like years. You start to get a little pissed off. But we didn't get like pissed off and leave our pediatrician. We decided to take her to an allergy specialist. Because the assumptions, you know, started to be like, she's not sick. She's not getting this many colds. So it's got to be something else. And her mother has all kinds of allergies. You know, like, weirdly enough, her mom is allergic to nickel. And, you know, even when you buy, you know, higher grade jewelry, most of it has a little nickel in it. And, you know, it breaks her out and it's a problem. So when we started dating, like, and I found out about this nickel allergy, you know, so I can make sure I buy nickel-free jewelry. Shout out to Nickel Royce the 5'9" from the intro music, but I digress. She had to explain to me that, like, the only jewelry she can really wear is like platinum, or I think I found that Swarovski. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly or not. I think it's like Tiffany is nickel-free, and platinum, which was the ones that she suggested. I found Swarovski, if that's how you say it, and they make like silver jewelry, and it is also nickel free, and it is significantly less expensive than Tiffany and platinum. So that was my jeweler of choice. But yeah, so yeah, her mom has all kinds of allergies. I'm not even sure if that's a real one, but whatever. And so yeah, we kind of figured that Elise might be allergic to something. And so we finally took her to the allergy doctor, and they do the little thing where they prick you with all the different allergens, and like they covered her whole back. Like, I remember doing it as a kid. I thought it was like one or two or something on my arm, and you wait to see if like a bump comes or something like that. Like, nah, they covered her whole back, like writing letters to keep track of which ones was which, and it was crazy. Like she had a full-on back tattoo or something, like covered her whole back with this stuff. And I tell all that to say, because, you know, Elise had she had her little fun, I guess she felt validated or something at some point, because it turns out, among many things, she's allergic to a lot of airborne allergens, but we tested for a few food things, and it turns out she's allergic to peanuts. And Elise has been anti-peanut her whole life, just on some I don't like them. And it's beyond that. It's like she don't like it. It's not like she eats something, it got peanuts in it, she's like, it got peanuts in it. It's like, if she thinks it got peanuts in it, if she heard on the street somewhere it got peanuts in it, if there's a vicious rumor floating around that it touched a peanut, she'd be like, nah, I'm not doing that. And it's worked out for me a little bit, because I enjoy candy, and the only way I can have candy around Elise without her like just bugging me is to make sure it's like a Reese's or something. Like, oh, should have got peanuts in it, my bad, you know. And that's worked out. But, you know, once she heard she had a peanut allergy, she was like, yeah, I knew it. See, I told you guys I didn't like peanut. And she said it probably like 8, 9, 10 times, way too many, obnoxious amount of times. Just an obnoxious, like, rude, know-it-all kid amount of times. Like, so many times that you wanted to, I'm saying, like, you know, the nigga in me wanted to say something back to her, like, all right, chill, I heard you the first time. You stupid as shit. Get the fuck out of here. Like, you don't know as much as you think you know, little girl. Relax. Don't forget who you're talking to. But that's not how I parent. Yeah. Whatever. But yeah. So she found out she had a peanut allergy, and she had a good old time with that, thinking that, you know, she, again, you always got to be on guard for like your kids getting a one up on you. Cause the moment they think they smarter than you, they not going to let it go. And they going to keep like pushing shit, and then like not listening, because I know better than mom and dad. And so this was one of those moments for her. Like, I was telling y'all I didn't like peanuts, and, you know, as if somehow she knew it's because she was allergic to them, whatever. But it's a mild peanut allergy. Like, it's not like she can't be around peanuts, and like she's in grave danger if, you know, she touches a peanut. She probably shouldn't eat anything that has peanuts in it. You know, we got to do the whole EpiPen, you know, thing and all of that, but it's not, it's a mild peanut allergy. The fucked up part for me is, I don't know if it's cool to say it anymore, but I was a big Louis C.K. fan, and I am a big Louis C.K. fan. Dude is funny. Anyway, and he used to do this thing where it'd be like, it's true, but maybe, and I think one of them was like peanut allergies. He's like, peanut allergies are, you know, it's tragic. You know, we have to protect our kids from peanuts, and yes, schools should have strict peanut-free zones and everything. And he was like, but maybe if we all just closed our eyes for, you know, 2 years, we'd be done with peanut allergies altogether. And that's like the first thing that came to my mind when I found out my daughter had a peanut allergy. But now I don't. I'm not going to feed her peanuts. I hope, you know. She's already like gone to school and realized that these granola bars that she's been eating her entire school career contain tree nuts. And so she pointed that out to the teacher like, oh, I can't eat this. Like, you've been eating it. Whatever, little girl. She's a piece of work. But yeah. See, I worry about her and the whole like thinking she's smarter than me, because I'm starting to realize that she is very much like me. Like, we are, when she was born, she came out like real light, real light. So light that I had one of the moments where I looked at my wife like, do we need to have a conversation? Like, is there something you want to tell me? Yeah, like this, there's got to be an explanation here, you know, somehow. Like, you say it now while these doctors are around and I can't do nothing, everything is cool. I wouldn't do nothing. I gotta stop that. Somebody was listening to my old episode and it was like, oh yeah, that time when you said you was gonna beat your wife's monkey ass. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I had to figure out what I was talking about. And I realized I can't say shit like that, because it'd come back on you. I was talking about fantasy football that time, and I was not talking about like beating up my wife in the hospital. So don't, relax, chill. But yeah, like, so there was moments where like I questioned, you know, my daughter, not really, but kinda. And but nowadays, like, it's nothing. It's no way I could deny her. Like, that's me. That's a little me, and it is scary as fuck. Like, it is really getting to me. And it's like little things that she does. Like, I noticed the other day, I picked her up from school and we went to like her favorite restaurant, this little diner, Kirby Lane down here. And I normally argue with her about like getting regular food. It's one of them 24-hour spots, so they serve breakfast all day. And so I know when she wants to go to Kirby Lane, she wants to get breakfast. But I'm like, man, you gotta eat some regular food at some point. Like, you just can't be cereal and pancakes like all the time. Like, you gotta eat some regular food. But she catches me in the right mode where I'm just tired and I just don't feel like having the conversation. It's like, whatever, just eat. And so I let her order for herself, which was cool. And she got her little breakfast platter, like bacon, eggs, and pancakes. And I usually have to argue with her a little bit about like eating the eggs. Like, she likes eggs, but she's so like in pancake mode that she just will completely ditch the eggs and like not eat that. And I'm like, man, you gotta eat. You can't just eat the sweet stuff with the syrup and everything. Like, I need you to have some other kind of food. But this day, like, she did it on her own. We didn't have to have a discussion about it. She ate the eggs and she ate the bacon, and then she went to the pancake. Smart girl, you know, cold eggs, it's not cool. But I noticed that like after eating the eggs, she took the napkin and wiped the fork off before she started eating the pancakes. And I'm like, man, that is so me. Like, I had a real food issue growing up. I think I was on somebody's podcast and we were talking about stuff that'll get your black card revoked. And I think it was Raw. Raw Says was saying like he don't eat greens, and I was absolutely with him. And then he started talking about like, don't put them on my plate, because if the green juice touches my other, I was like, fuck yeah, that is me. I don't want the green juice touching nothing else. And, you know, and if you want to piss me off, if you want to see me Hulk out, you know, if you want to see Flan get angry, let us be having some sort of family style dinner, and I see you use the green spoon to dip some mac and cheese or something like that, I will lose my shit. It's not cool. Party foul. Don't do it. Or this. I'm just putting it out there. I know by saying it, I'm inviting somebody to do it next time they're in some sort of situation like that with me. because people are assholes. I'm saying. But I'm going to know that you did it on purpose to fuck with me. And so whatever reaction you get, I'm going to feel justified. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, I saw that out of Chefy Lee's. She wiped the fork off before she ate the pancakes. And I was like, damn, that's my little girl. But I don't know. On a brighter Chefy Lee's note, she thinks I'm a celebrity. I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, I guess I should feel good about it. I mean, it was cool. We were driving somewhere, and we drove past a Jared jewelry store. And in her mind, because that may be like the first time or one of the first few times she's seen that jewelry store, in her mind, they stole the name from me. And she was talking to me about why somebody would do that. Why would somebody steal your name for a jewelry store? And then she came up with the idea that, oh, it must be because you're a famous podcaster and they're trying to get some clout off of using your famous podcaster name. And I was like, if you say so, I mean, I'll take it. Like, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. Like, you know, in her mind, she knows her dad has a podcast. She's seen me doing these live streams and stuff. She's crashed, you know, a few. And I guess she's seen me recently, like, be working more than usual. Like, she'll come over for a weekend. I'd be like, all right, dad's got to take a call at 8 o'clock or something. So I'm going to get you situated. And then I need to go do some work. You know, can't fuck with me for a little bit. Like, and so she knows that, like, I'm working. And then she sees, like, typically on a daily basis, like, I wear what is TWS merchandise. Like, I get the sample orders every time I design a new shirt. I got a closet full of them, hoodies, all that kind of stuff. So almost anytime you see me, I'm in a shirt or a hoodie or something that I sell. And so, you know, for her, like, I got like canvases up on the wall in my apartment that are designs and stuff. So she's surrounded by it. She got the neon sign, you know, in her room. And so to her, like, dad's a famous podcaster. Like, I don't want to correct her and tell her that, no, I'm not famous. And, podcasting isn't making me any money, but, you know, maybe she's prophetic. Maybe she can see what's coming. And that one day, the Jared Jewelry Store will want to work with me because my name is bigger than theirs. We'll see. From her lips to God's ears, whatever. Is that how you say it? I think it is. I don't think I've ever said that shit before. But yeah. But now my daughter thinks I'm a celebrity. She thinks she's smarter than me, but she thinks I'm a celebrity. I don't know which one is better or worse. But all right, but let me get into this, because this is the big thing. This is the thing I've been, like, excited to talk to you people about. I did an episode a few weeks back, you know, with some podcasting friends of mine, Amron. Shouts to Amron, Dre Mo, and Savagely Humble. I almost called her the other name and would have got myself hurt. But shouts to them for hanging out with me and giving me some good advice. We were talking about black hair and, like, what is a dad's role in a black girl's hair journey. And at the end, it all came from, like, me being traumatized by being around her mother trying to, you know, use the hot comb in her hair, and my daughter being scared. That was too much for me. So I was like, man, how can I help? How can I alleviate some of this? And the consensus was, you know, to just start making hair appointments and take her to the salon. Like, you take that off your ex-wife's plate. And so that's what I decided to do. And we had our first salon trip this weekend. I was able to get an appointment the day before Easter, which was a miracle. And we did it. We pulled it off. And I start out with this, like, to all the moms listening, just forgive me. Just forgive me. Just have some patience. I know this about to be annoying as fuck to you to hear some dude be this proud for doing some simple shit that's pretty basic to you. But you got to understand, it's not basic for me. To quote Royce the 5'9", if you knew how much I'd lost, you'd have no problem with me winning. You know what I'm saying? Like, one, I hate driving. I fucking hate driving. I have been driving for less than a year. I know I'm 41 years old. But I bought this car less than a year ago. Like, yeah, it was like late April last year is when I bought the car. It probably took me another month or two to really start driving it. You know, up until then, I was Ubering everywhere, just spending crazy money. I would Uber to my daughter's school, pick her up, and then catch an Uber back home. Like, it was rough. So driving is not cool to me. It's not fun to me. And this place was downtown, and driving downtown is the worst of the worst. Like, I hate it. I avoid it. I never want to do it. I would still Uber downtown right now if I'm going to a show or something like that. I don't want to drive down there. So anytime we make it, you know, to our destination safely, that's a fucking accomplishment for me. And I'm going to celebrate it. I know it's going to sound stupid to other people, but it's a hell of a moment to me. I mean, I know her mom still worries about it. I still get the, you know, when I'm leaving or something, she's like, yeah, you know, let me know when you get home. And I know, you know, she's not concerned about whether or not I get home. I mean, maybe a little, just some human, basic human decency type shit. But yeah, I know it's got to be stressful for her. Like, oh, this nigga's driving her home again. Oh, Lord, please, you know, let them arrive safely. I know it's got to be one of them type of moments. So it's a celebratory moment. Like, it's something I gotta enjoy. So you just know that, yes, all I did was take my daughter to the salon, but it's a big fucking deal to me because I've never done it before, and I haven't even been capable of pulling off something like this until very, very recently. But it didn't start off great, and it was another one of those too much like me moments. So we get home. I picked her up on Thursday because she was out of school on Friday. I don't even know why I mentioned that, because that's not relevant. But we had Friday, we chilled. Her hair appointment was on Saturday. So yeah, Friday we chilled. Saturday we had to go to the hair appointment. I'm telling her Friday night, you got to get some sleep. You can't be up here, you know, doing whatever it is you do till 3 o'clock in the morning most of the time. Like, you got to go to sleep, because we got to get up in the morning and we got to get out in time. I don't like to rush. I need to have time to make mistakes, to make wrong turns, miss a turn, all that kind of stuff. Like, this is where Dad's head was. I think I was talking to somebody about some podcast related stuff, like some business stuff, and I'm like trying to focus on what they're saying, but in my mind, I'm in the car and I'm driving downtown, and I gotta be ready. So I'm trying to get Elise ready for it. I get up there the next morning to wake her up. And she tries to pull one of my patented moves. She tried to pull the fake sleep move. Like, I'm normally, when she hears me coming up the steps in the morning, like, she's up. By the time I walk into the room, she's looking at me, you know. This time, nah. And then I'm calling her name, nothing. I'm tickling her. I'm moving her around. I'm trying to be like, hey, it's time to get up. I know you don't want to go, but da, da, da. And she's really, like, digging into this, I'm asleep. And I finally got her to say something, and he was like, I'm tired. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. We got to go. I told you, like, I booked this appointment. And I think she thought she could play on Dad's, like, kinder, gentler side. I'm normally, because I'm not the custodial parent, and I only get her, you know, every 2 weeks, you know, for a couple days, like, I normally want our visits to be fun and, like, memorable and happy. I don't want her to leave here with a negative feeling, because I won't get to fix that, you know, for another 2 weeks. So she normally can get over me on certain things. If I can see, like, something is bothering her and upsetting her, I'm going to try to, like, fix it. But what she didn't understand was that they charged me a deposit to book these hair appointments, and Dad's cheap as shit. And now you fucking with my money. So, you know, yeah, it's, forget you and your feelings. I already paid for a portion of this hairdo. We going. If I got to carry you on my shoulder, we going. So wake up. So eventually I got that through to her. Not with those words. It's not how I talk to my child. It's how I talk to y'all. Because fuck y'all. Then, no, I love you. But, I finally got her up. You know, we get out, we get in the car, we're going. We got plenty of time. Things are working well for me. So we're driving downtown. First things first, I had to adjust the music. From the moment I pull up to my daughter's school, when I pick her up, like, I gotta flip off whatever it is that I'm listening to, and I gotta put on Kids Bop. And And the thing with Kidz Bop, I do like Kidz Bop Radio on Sirius XM or whatever. The thing about it is they only got like 20 songs or whatever in rotation. So it's the same fucking 20 songs every time, no matter where we going. It's the same goddamn song. I know them. They're stuck in my head. It gets on my nerves. I fucking hate it. My daughter loves it, though. She don't, like, kids are cool with repetition. I'm not. But, you know, when I'm driving, like, a lot of times to alleviate the stress, I need to listen to some music that I enjoy. Like, that just takes a, you know, that at least, that gives me something while I'm driving. So, you know, we get in the car and I'm just like, look, got to put my foot down. You know, I can't play what I want to play. Like, I want to throw on something disrespectful. Because sometimes, like, just throwing on some gangster shit, like, just, you know what I'm saying? Like, now I really don't care about the other car's feelings. If you feel like I cut you off or I'm going too slow, fuck you. It's my life, is what I do. So that's normally where I want to go. But I'm like, man, I can't do the Kidz Bop. I'm going to rock with something today. It is at least cool for you. And you should understand some. So I threw on, like, the best of Jackson 5. And that's what I was doing for the whole trip. But then she wanted to talk to me the whole time that I'm driving. And I'm like, nah, I got to focus. Like, I don't really know where I'm going. I don't know these streets. It's a lot of one-way situations. I got to be paying attention to what I'm doing. I can't hold conversations with you. So I tried to plan for that. I let her ride with, like, my Nintendo Switch just to keep her quiet. She could, you know, play Mario Kart or whatever. But, you know, still, I got to hear about the results of every race. I'm in first place, Dad. I'm in 10th place, Dad. I don't care, Elise. Like, I'm in no place. I'm trying to get to a place. I need you to chill. Side note, though, and y'all might be happy to hear this. I did take her to go see the Super Mario Brothers movie. And I'm happy to report I didn't cry once. Not a once. Not a tear. Very proud of myself. But anyway, So two things out the way. Got her up, got her in the car, put my foot down on the music. I guess three things. Had to tell her to shut the fuck up and play the game. And then the last thing, but then the one thing I didn't anticipate is she's a backseat driver now. Like, it's like, play your game and let me do this. I got this, you handle that. So I got the GPS in there, and it'll normally show if I'm looking at the map, which is what I want to be looking at if I'm going someplace I've never been before. But it'll show on the map, like, the speed limit of whatever roads you're on, and then your speed. And if you're going over the speed limit, it turns red. And Elise just sits there and waits for the shit to turn red. I'm like, Dad, look at the speed, Dad. And, you know, can't be mad at it. I'm speeding. I'm going over the limit. Now, it turns red if you go a mile over the limit. I'm a very safe driver, so I might be 5 over the speed limit, something like that, you know, just to keep up with the flow of the traffic. Everybody's speeding, so yes, I am too. But Elise is a stickler. Dad, look at the speed. So usually how I solve that is I keep the screen on the radio so she can't see that shit. Couldn't do this that day. So she mentioned it like once or twice, and so then I switched back when I knew, like, when I had an idea of what the rest of the route was. Like, I can't deal with her questioning my driving right now. I'm nervous enough as it is. And we doing something. And so I guess she was like, I don't need to see the speed, Dad. You know, at some point she was just like, can we turn the speed thing back on? Because it feels like we're going a little fast. Like, little girl, I know you think, because you somehow knew you had a peanut allergy some way, somehow, which you didn't, but let's assume you did. I know you think that means you're smarter than me and you know everything, but you don't. Chill, play the game. Let me get us where we going. So, I did. I got us to where we were going safely. And so I had to get out. She's really nervous now, but, you know, she's got the game with her. I'm like, you can play the game. She knows this is not the first time she's been to this salon. It may be the first time in a little while, but they, you know, they recognize it. They knew who she was. So I'm like, you know, it's going to be okay. What I didn't expect is for me not to be okay about it. So I go in there to take her to the salon, and I guess I had forgotten like the layout of the place. It's small. They don't have a whole lot of seats. There's not a waiting area. So I go in there. The lady sees her. She's like, oh, Elise, you know, welcome back. Haven't seen you in a while. And she recognizes me. And she's like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you. I'm like, good to see you too. And then she's just like, yeah, we'll text you about 30 minutes before it's time to pick up. And then it's like, pretty much get the fuck out. Like, that's pretty much what she was saying to me was, thank you. We got her. We're going to take care of it. Get the fuck out. I never been kicked out so politely in my whole life. But like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I walked out. I literally like stood in the hallway outside the salon, like trying to figure out what I was supposed to do. Like, it didn't feel right that I was just like leaving her. I don't think I've ever done that. I've never taken her someplace, dropped her off, and then had to leave. Like, other than school, maybe. It was super weird. I felt some kind of way, like, oh, damn, she's not going to be in my side. I'm not going to be able to see what's happening. I have to just trust that she's being taken care of and everything's going to be okay. Okay. All right. So, I had to just walk out. And I found myself walking around East Austin, which I didn't know. At least maybe at one point was like the black section of Austin. I don't know if there is one. I told Chad, like, this is probably the safest Martin Luther King Boulevard I ever been on. But, they had the African American Cultural Center, like right next to where she got her hair done. There was murals and stuff all over the place with like black jazz musicians and everything. It wasn't a lot of black people, but there was black ishness, you know, everywhere. So I just went on a walk. It's very gentrified now. It's very like, you know, little coffee shops and little hipster spots to get ice cream and dumb shit like that. It's also right next to Franklin's, and I don't know if you've heard of Franklin's before, but it's a very famous barbecue spot. I mean, they've been on Food Network and stuff, and it's crazy. Like, you know, I don't even know their hours. All I know is that you have to get there at like 6-7 o'clock in the morning and like stand in line with the hope that you get some barbecue, because they don't have out. They open. And they close when they run out of food. That's what it is. That's it. And so you could get in that line and still you're not guaranteed food. Not at all. I think people got pissed once because Obama came and got like pushed to the front of the line. And people were like, oh, hell nah, this is Texas. You know you're in Texas, right? You know you're in Texas. We don't allow y'all to do things like that. But he was the president. So I walked by there and saw that line. I thought about, like, maybe I can get some brisket. And I saw the line. I was like, nah, I guess I can't. But yeah, I walked around. I called my mom. I tried to do some, like, a podcast and business to work out some stuff. Shit went left real fast. But that's neither here nor there. I just tried to waste time. And then I got a text for an invoice. So I guess this is how they do it. Everything is high tech these days. I miss like going to a cash register. But I got an invoice, and the invoice was for significantly more than what I had booked. It's like when you go to book the appointment, they ask you what kind of hairstyle you want. And based on the hairstyle you pick, you know, there's a price, and then you put down a deposit. So I'm thinking, I know what the price for the hairdo was. I've already paid this much. This is how much I should have left to pay. And what I got invoiced for was over like what the full amount would have been without the deposit. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm thinking it may be because, you know, I had to take her hair down the night before. I had to untwist the twist. And maybe it's a detangling fee or some shit. I don't know. So I'm like, whatever. I pay the invoice. I get the call. It's like, you could pick her up in 30 minutes. I make my way back over there. And I get there and I walk in, and she's still in the chair when I walked in. And ladies, she's like, I have to send you another invoice. And I'm thinking, for the fuck what? Like, I just paid way more than I thought I was supposed to pay for the one thing. And I ain't questioning it. And now you about to invoice me again. And I see my daughter and she's sitting over in the chair and it's not like the hairstyle I had picked. One, lady, stop speaking in code about like, just help fathers out. We trying to participate, but we can't participate if y'all turn this into some shit is not possible for us to understand. All the hair dudes was like code words and shit, like the Barbara Jean, the Rudy, the whatever. I don't know what the fuck that is. Say twist, braids. I don't know. Say something that a normal human being could recognize. I picked the Barbara Jean, and then I think I talked to her mom about it and understood that the Barbara Jean was twist. So that's what I'm expecting to see on my little girl's head. I look over there, my little girl got braids with beads in them, and the lady sees me and she's like, oh yeah. She said she wanted braids, so we gave her what she wanted. But is she paying for this? Like, did y'all work out some agreement for her to compensate you for this? Because I paid for the fucking twist. And now I'm getting invoiced a second time for the beads to go on these braids that I didn't ask for. So I'm like DEFCON 3. Like, I'm not happy at the moment. I'm happy that so far this hair thing, I got her there. I got her to the salon on time. Her hair is done. Not in the style that I thought I was picking, but it is done. And I've paid for it more than I thought I was supposed to, but I've paid for it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not happy about how this has worked out, but I'm happy that we've checked off all these boxes so far. Then they bring my daughter out and they give her to me and they got her head wrapped in like paper or something. It looked like she, you know, had a brain injury or something. Like, it looked like she just got out of surgery or something like that. And again, I'm like, I'm usually that person that when I'm freaking out, I'm looking around to see if anybody else is freaking out. And if nobody else is freaking out, then I feel like I can't freak out. But you bring me my little girl with her, this thing wrapped around her chin, like she broke her jaw or something. Like, what the fuck did y'all do to my little girl? I already know you didn't do what I asked you to do. What else extra shit did you do? Like, where are there beads in her teeth? Like, why is her face wrapped? What the fuck is going on? But nobody's freaking out. And I'm not trying to be the angry black man that don't understand what's going on. I'm really feeling like a Neanderthal. I tell y'all all the time I'm a Neanderthal. I felt like it for sure in that moment. Because it seemed normal to everybody else. And I'm like, this shit is not normal. Matter of fact, it's a problem. And somebody needs to calm me down before it becomes more of a problem. But, yeah, I saw my little girl. You know, she looked like she needed a hug. And so I went into dad mode and was just like, you know, how was it? You know, whatever. Things turned out good. Her hair looked good. She got the braids with the beads. I felt like a good dad. We made it back home safely. And then I got her back over to her mom's house that evening for an Easter egg hunt. And that was a good time. You know, Chad came out with his boys. You know, they went overboard with the food and everything. And, you know, it's always it's a weird time for me because, you know, one, it's always going to be weird to see, you know, like my family is now somebody else's family. Like, that's, it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's no diss to anybody. I'm not, but it's weird. It's not exactly the most comfortable situation for me. And then, you know, I don't have any family here in Austin. So holidays I normally spend by myself, which is 100% okay with me because I don't really like people. But yeah, I don't have any family here in Austin. And then, like, you know, her husband has, you know, a fairly, in my eyes, large family. And sometimes that's difficult for me to be around, especially like to be around it and then have to go home like by myself. So, yeah, I mean, that was weird. But all in all, it was a good weekend. You know, I had some white kids crack confetti eggs on my head, which felt weird after being at the African-American Cultural Center. That the next thing I do is have white children beat me in the head with eggs. But it is what it is. But I had a good weekend. I had a good dad weekend. I accomplished something. You know, got my daughter's hair done. Was able to take that off my ex-wife's plate, you know, at least once. Now I got to figure out how to do it again. I probably need to be looking at booking appointments right now because I had to book this one several weeks in advance. If I don't start making moves soon, ain't going to be, you know, no appointments in the near future. But I did it. I fucking did it. I fucking did it. And I'm proud of myself. I know you might not be, but I am. It's a good weekend. But I am still very scared that my daughter is a little bit too much like me. And gotta prepare for that and figure out how to navigate that. It's some crazy things that run in the family in terms of mental health and physical health. And, you know, I can already see she's got allergy issues, which is probably more from her mom's side. But these little they get a lot from us that we don't even recognize they have sometimes until it shows up, you know, in weird ways. And so, you know, so far as, you know, being picky with food and thinking you're smarter than everybody else and trying to fake sleep. I had to tell her that I used to pull that same move, trying not to go to church every weekend. I'm asleep. Luckily for me, you know, mom's was a single mother. She had another kid to take care of, you know, working two jobs and battling with me on a Sunday was not on the agenda. So I fought hard enough. I got to stay home. But I had already put $25 down, so she was gone. It is what it is. But yeah, with that being said, thank you for rocking with me this far. If you made it this far, you are the real MVP. Please hit up the store, whatistws.com/store. You can use coupon code algorithm to get 20% off your order. It's the summer of the algorithm. So yeah, check out the merch that I got in there. Like I said, I wear What Is TWS merch almost on a daily basis. I got the For The Algorithm collection, Just As, Dopeness. I got the Words Defined collection, signature stuff. I put my face on the shirt. It's all kinds of shit in there. Go get you one, rock out. I think they definitely cool. And you can get 20% off in the process. Help me pay for these hair appointments, which I understand that I'll never know how much they cost until the shit is already done. But it is what it is. Until we speak again, y'all be safe, be the light, be easy. Check out Opulence Radio. And know this, if you know nothing else, don't you put that fucking green spoon in the mac and cheese unless you want a problem. Other than that, I fucking love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.